Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
They are talking, as we speak, Alinsky 101, Rules for Radicals, about our nation. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's kicking into overdrive. Here it goes. Mm-hmm. The next 2 years will be intense focus on the particular rule for radical that we'll be talking about. But Saul Alinsky wrote a book called Rules for Radicals, our president. He wasn't president then, but he was mentored by Saul Alinsky, and so was Hillary Clinton. And obviously they're not biological brothers and sisters, but this is what Revelations chapter 2 says, and it's what Jesus said in regards to talking about the Pharisees, and it's what Paul said in regards to his spiritual sons and all, that we're related by taking on the mindsets and the spirits of those who mentor us and train us. And, you know, Paul said, my spirit's with you. And when the Lord's with you, you already know what you need to do when you get everybody together. And so when I say that, and we have a whole series on this, we'll be talking about it for some time, it looks like, but you can speed up the process by going to listen to the prophecy. And it's called Organizers of the Day. Organizers of the night versus organizers of the day, organizer of the day. And one of the rules for radicals in his book that he writes about, and he has 13 rules, but one rule is Alinsky writes in his book, remember, once you organize people around global warming, remember, once you organize people around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then an organized people is on the move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution, to Pentagon pollution. And we'll talk about that because I was an organizer. Somebody came into our church, and a church that loves God. God moved mightily in this church, but they came in and used our compassion, wanting to do something in the community, wanting to do something nice for the people, but they were looking for something that we agreed upon, something that was a common thing that everybody can join in on. Mm-hmm. But what God revealed, and I know this firsthand, I don't know this because I read Saul Alinsky. I know this because I was invited into the round table circle in Applegate, California. Mm-hmm. And, kind of creepy. Anyway, so they begin to organize you around something that you care about. You know, here's somebody, we want to organize around this particular cause, and everybody agrees on it. It's important to find some issue that everybody agrees upon. And then you get them moving because they've never moved before, basically, and now you got them all organized and how to function. And he says this, and I didn't know about Rules for Radicals. I didn't know about any of this. This was revealed to me by the Lord in the last 2 years, but when I'm crying out and screaming at the TV going, what are we doing? What's going on? And the Lord said, Lord, just let me know. And I had a wide open heart and mind, and we learned it. You can learn it with us. You know, what are these 13 rules? And what I found out in that process is that our president he was mentored by Saul Alinsky, and he taught the process, the Chicago Tribune reports in the back cover of this book, Rules for Radicals, for 4 years, I believe it is, allegedly. And Hillary Clinton was in a church, reportedly, you know, just going to church as a young person in youth or something of that nature. And Saul went in and Saul Alinsky, go figure, Saul, right? Mm-hmm. Saul Alinsky went in and organized, got her, began to mentor her and speak into her life. And she did a paper. I mean, he wanted her to do like President Barack Obama, but then understand he wasn't President Barack Obama. He was Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And he was organizing the communities. And you heard when they were all running for offices, they're talking about community organizers. And by the way, community organizer, just the concept, it has no negative connotations at all. I mean, you have to organize people to do something. The question is, what is your motives? What are you doing? And what is your outcome? Well, Saul Alinsky, his methodology is, we'll talk about that today, but reports are that Hillary Clinton said, no, I don't want to do that, but I will do this. And she wrote a book. She wrote her thesis, right? Mm-hmm. Her thesis at the university, she wrote on the whole, reportedly, mm-hmm. the Alinsky tactics and rules for radicals. And
it's sealed.
It's sealed, mm-hmm. by the way. Think about this. I mean, every secret that we know to man is out, but Hillary Clinton's paper, you know, is not out. And it's like, you know, I wouldn't want my papers coming out. It's like, man, subject verb agreement. And obviously you read a book. You listened to the movie, you watched the movie, you didn't read the book. And what were you thinking? I had some, you know, my years in law enforcement, think about you're writing all the time. And I always said, we're just chronological historians that we, you know, tragedy happens and they call a deputy out or a police officer out. And, you know, fights only last for a few seconds. It lasts long with Pat and me that lasts. If somebody's fighting us, it's like, they just kind of push us over and it's like, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Or like that one comedian said, he said, if somebody was torturing him, says, I'm going to cut your ear off if you don't tell me something. He says, I believe you. What do you want to know? Anyway, and so we would just show up and we would write everything. And then you wrote it at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're thinking about wanting to get off and same thing everybody else thinks. And mm-hmm. you're cranking it out. Perpetrator entered from the northeast quadrant of the back door. You know, I wrote differently. He snuck in. He was going across the street. He passed a full box of matches.
He's writing novels.
Lit them. I'm serious. This is a report. He lit them one at a time to see his way around the school office to be able to work his way back to the children's room where he found where they stored their change. I mean, really, I did. And he stole the children's money that they saved up for this period of time. And that's what, you know, juries like that versus like the perpetrator entered from the front door of the school, moved to the northeast quadrant of the back room, number 12, and took some change. I mean, the jury needs to hear something like that. Mm. He went down. Anyway, so the jury's looking at him like, I can't believe you stole those children.
Bag. You dirtbag.
And I never knew matches could be so bad.
Right?
He used them for light. Anyway, so that... thank you. So that in regards to writing that, you know, not wanting to see stuff written, I had to sit on witness stands in front of juries of your peers, in front of judges who you highly respect, in front of, you know, people whose lives weighed in the balance in this whole thing and victims and TV cameras at time or whatever. And they would read my reports. And just like you guys, they go like, now, what is this?
Can you interpret this?
I'm like, I look at it. I mean, here you get the whole courtroom looking at you going like, I ain't got a clue what that word is. I don't know. Let him go.
Right.
If we could end this humility right now, I'm going to just let this thing go. And that's when I learned how to type.
That's pretty interesting.
That's interesting itself.
That was before... texting.
So you have to ask, is this Hebrew or Greek? What is this? what is this?
It's so funny, you know, you catch a mistake and what, you know, quick little text or something and you think, oh my goodness, that's terrible, but you don't realize you had 500.
Oh, other ones.
Exactly.
I don't speak in syntaxes without reviewing them. Pat and I had an occurrence like that. That's not good for me. It's like, Southern country dude, learn how to type. You cannot talk into Siri. It doesn't work out right. Honestly, I did not say that.
It wasn't me.
But I was shocked. It was so funny. Don and I were riding on the road, and I talked into it. And I just pushed send because it was storming. I didn't want to text and type or anything like that. Or drive and text. And so I looked at it. And maybe you replied to me and like,
what?
Okay, I think I'll read this thing. One. And we started laughing, driving on the road with lightning popping around our head. So
I said, I think I'm offended right now, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, right. That's always a good, oh, that must have been Siri.
Yeah. I had one
disclaimer,
et cetera. But so I can see where you want things sealed, you know, please seal my arrest reports. I was tired. You had to write through carbon copies of that day. We didn't have report takers. We were the report taker. Mm. And I could see that. But after all these years, I mean, after Benghazi, after all of that, you know, after living a whole life, we still can't release this particular term paper. Don't you want to know? Wow. I mean, it's not like anybody cares. Anyway, have you noticed? It doesn't matter how bad people are right now in this society. This is definitely the time, you know, just to just say, I am bad. because people go, cool, let's move on. Mm. I'm doing evil things. Oh, great. Let's go have a cup of coffee. Hey, I'm fundamentally transforming America from a godly country to an ungodly one. Oh, great. Let's have a cappuccino. Yeah, sure. Let's have a cappuccino. And by the way, don't bring guns to the Starbucks, because that is a new thing, despite your something amendments, the Second Amendment rights. We have a lot to talk about. And also, I want to be able to talk about Sergeant Andrew. I mean, my heart is just broken for this Marine. And if you think about this Marine in the context of you and our lives, me, and we're missing it. You have to understand, he just came from war. He went and just fought war for us. He fought for our rights and defended our constitutional rights. And so you're in a different mindset. You're not in this, you know, Starbucks, you know, think about me mindset. You're trying to integrate your life back into society again. You're trying to unwar your brain. And so we're going to actually hear from him when he's talking to his mother, and she was able to three-way him in, and to hear his voice, and it makes you want to run and go rescue him. And you're going to understand that, because of the reason why he's thinking that way is because that's the way it is in war.
Yeah.
We're going to move quickly here and talking about what's going on right now. CBN News is reporting about this new carbon thing. They're talking about, you know, a war on carbon, which means basically this, a war on how you get your electricity in your house. Mm-hmm. When you hear war on carbon and all these other scenarios that we're talking about, you know, the Alinsky, the Rules for Radicals kind of concept, it works really well with folks. It's amazing. And that's why I remember Paul said, I refuse to use anything enticing, any kind of fancy speeches, because all I want to know, all I want you to know, is Jesus Christ and the power of God. And we can't manipulate folks as Christians. We just have to let them make decisions that they make. But you cannot do that, because they'll put their faith in you and not God, and you can't save them in the end. You don't have a throne of judgment. God does. And so what does this mean? Think about this. What does this mean? I want to encourage you. This is so going to make sense to you, because we prophesied about this, or I prophesied about this October 1st, 2013, as I began to cry out, well, you know, what does all this mean right here? First, let's listen to the report from CBN, or watch it on from CBN.
Aaron, the president's ambitious $8 billion plan to cut pollution from power plants will likely take an enormous toll on American workers and anyone who pays an electric bill. That's the charge from the GOP and industry groups. The president is dismissing the economic concerns and says health savings will offset the costs. Heather Sells has the latest.
Power plants have already reduced their carbon emissions nearly 13% since 2005. But the president's plan will force another 17% by the year 2030.
This is about protecting our health, and it is about protecting our homes.
Critics say, however, that the president's plan will kill jobs. They're concerned that many businesses that rely on coal as a power source will no longer be able to afford it, thanks to the new regulations.
Any way you look at it, hundreds of thousands of Americans are going to be out of work, this is during a time where the economy is very, very weak to start with.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce says the new plan will lead to the loss of 224,000 jobs each year for the next 16 years. The annual cost to the U.S. economy, $51 billion.
Environmental regulations that are coming into effect will retire 60% of today's coal fleet.
This Kentucky business buys and sells mining equipment. If power plants aren't using as much coal, the mines won't need as much equipment, and DGI Trading may leave Kentucky.
It's sort of real-life scenario that if mining became that bad on this part of the United States, then absolutely, it could be necessary for us to relocate our business.
And because 40% of the nation's electricity comes from coal, higher electricity costs are expected, which will hurt consumers as well.
Within a five-year period after it goes into effect, in many states, you'll have a double-digit increase in electricity prices.
The plan serves as the centerpiece of the president's efforts to deal with climate change, but its future is uncertain. It must survive legal and other challenges, and scrapping it could be possible if Republicans take the Senate in November. Heather Sells, CBN News.
Well, this is amazing. You think, well, what's the big deal about this? Well, the big deal about it, this is what he said. First of all, they said that this has been his plan all along. He said that more than likely that power prices would double, that they're saying it's going to cost us 224,000 jobs a year for 16 years, that our power rates are going to go up by double digits, and the cost is going to be $51 billion at a time that we're borrowing any increase from another country. And Jesus, this is a biblical perspective. Jesus said that you're a slave to whoever the lender is. And so we're enslaving ourselves to, I don't know about what percentage of the dollar now is borrowed, but it's a huge high percent.
46 cents out of every dollar is being borrowed.
46 cents out of every dollar, the reports are. I want to encourage you, first of all, don't forget right now, you need to subscribe to The Torch. You can do that by texting right now the letters VFNTV, that's V Victor, VFNTV, to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. You got to stay informed. This puppy's cranking up, and we have to wake up and get informed. We have to think and pray and watch so that this nation doesn't fall and that we don't go into captivity. Understand, this is just a strategy right now in regards to it's an Alinsky methodology, or organizing it around something that, who doesn't want our coal miners not to have to suffer from the mining of coal? We had a chance recently to meet somebody from, I believe, the West Virginia mines. And yes, but it's a job choice. And there's a song that came out from a coal miner, and I don't know the name of the song, but I'd love to have it. But he says, that's how I keep food on my plate, on my family's plate. That's how I take care of my family. It's right. And it's a beautiful song. Hopefully we'll find that thing. Let's find the thing. And he's a Marine that came back and wrote this song. It was beautiful. And he was the song gives us an understanding from a coal mine family. It's like, you're talking about taking my job. You're not talking. And you're actually charging your iPhone on the electricity that my job generated for you. Just so you understand how your power company works. They burn coal, who actually creates heat, who makes steam, who turns turbines, who creates energy, who goes down those lines, who comes into your iPhone. That's how it actually works. Yeah. And when you saw Hurricane Sandy hit New York, they realized, oh, this is how power is made. Their biggest concern was, where do I charge my phone? By the coal mines, by burning coal. And so, but the thing about it is, forget about all that. You know, who doesn't want clean air? Of course we want clean air. But it's a common, remember, that's the Alinsky methodology. Find something that people agree on, organize them, and it's a small step there to begin to jump right into organizing the political pollution and the Pentagon pollution, which, in other words, the power and the state. And so you just got to get people moving in a particular direction. But you got to hear this. I want you to hear this. This is from October the 1st, 2013, because we walked this thing out and God revealed this to me. You know, what is this? What does this mean? And what is, okay, that's the dark perspective. What is the light perspective? What does God say about it? Listen up. Are we being organized? It's looking like the answer is we're leaning towards, I'm leaning just a little bit towards, yeah. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaning a little bit towards yeah. The answer, by the way, is not rolling over and going to sleep right now or closing your eyes or turning on a movie so you can get your mind away from this. The answer is waking up, repenting, and being the light that God's called us to be. But also, in as we enter in, I want you, this is going to just ring a huge bell. So we got, you have to begin to open society, right? So we're seeing that's part of Saul Alinsky's operating manual, Rules for Radicals, right?
Right.
The polarization, that's happening, right? So that's, it's like, and he, like me, and like Marshall Gantz, the president was a community organizer, but it seems like he's still organizing. Organizing is not wrong, unless we're using tips from Lucifer, and which Saul Alinsky's book starts with. But also, now it's like one more thing he talks about in his book, Rules for Radicals. Saul Alinsky writes, he says, remember, once you organize around something as common, something as commonly agreed upon as pollution. Think about this. Once you organize, this is Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals talking about how to organize. Remember, once you organize around something as common, as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then organized people will begin to move. From there, it's short and natural step to political pollution, to the Pentagon pollution. And it's like, they're even talking about global warming. They're actually saying we're polluting the atmosphere. It's like, this is not even a secret. This is like, this is a book you can get from Amazon.com and you can read. I was reading it last night. It's like, They just didn't use the word they didn't use the word global. It's like, what is this global warming stuff? And so people are arguing about, they're polarizing themselves. Like they're buying into the whole concept. They're being polarized. Mm-hmm. And you're arguing with the ones they wanted you to argue with instead of saying, did you just try to polarize me? Are we talking about the icebergs melting and stuff? You know what I'm saying? What happened here? And this is what he says in Saul Alinsky's book in Rules for Radicals. He says, remember, once you organize people around something as common, as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then an organized people is on the move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution and to Pentagon pollution. In other words, you can organize the government. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that our president, one of his first things he went to do was to go sign, he was going to go to Denmark, I believe it was Denmark, I can't think about the country that it was right now, and sign in the United Nations in regards to, let's go to this global warming, let's begin to deal with this global warming. Let's start saying, let's polarize people based on the fact that there's this pollution issue, and we'll get the whole world buying behind this, mm-hmm. and start charging carbon tax to people, and it's really just some whole concept put out there, and it's like, okay, now we've created, we got people organized around the green movement, you know, and we got light bulbs that you can't burn anymore. And it's just this whole concept. And so it's like, okay, people can organize around that. But then he says, from there, it's a short and natural step to deal with political pollution and Pentagon pollution. Let me add to that. Christian pollution and Jewish pollution. Mm. Right now, as we speak, this last week, I believe it was this week, a pastor was preaching revival in Louisiana, and somebody walks in and shoots him dead. Dead.
Wow.
Don't know all the details? Dead. There's video of people walking up and so much hatred in their heart. They said, all I want to do is destroy you and remove you from this nation. I want to remove everything to do with the church and anything with the Bible and anything from just, and you have to understand that if you buy into this polarization, instead of humbling yourself before God as a Christian and repenting from our wicked ways and seeking the Lord and responding the way Jehoshaphat did and positioning ourselves to receive, to be able to come against this vast army, then you're looking at, you know, great times of trials and difficulties.
Right.
We're being organized. Mm-hmm. We are being organized in a simple little book called Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky is being used like a playbook. I mean, whether they're using it or not, it's like they're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But being a community organizer, hiring Marshall Gantz as part of your political campaign, as the one who quotes from a book, mm-hmm. Rules for Radicals, that was openly dedicated to Lucifer in the beginning of it, or at least talked about,
mm-hmm.
Tips from Lucifer. I think, hey, we got to pay attention. This is a polarization happening between God and Satan, darkness and light. And guess what? Light is greater than darkness. It's time for us to wake up.
This is so important. That was a prophetic word that God had given about a discernment. It's October 1st, 2013. We're looking at you just hate to use these terminology. It's amazing. Everything you say, I will never say that. And it's like, I'll say whatever God tells me to say.
That's right.
Just what it boils down to, what leads me to say, what I believe he's leading me to say. And what he's showing me. And I did cry out for a long time because I looked for quite some time. I watched Fox News like everybody else. And I watched CNN and MSNBC and ABC News and all that stuff. And I watched it. And I was noticing how we're just going off the edge. And it's like, there is no more common sense that what's happening here. Are you really? There used to be such a respect for those positions because they knew they had the ear of the nation.
Right.
And all of a sudden it was like they were hijacked. And they're agenda-driven, including conservative agendas, including liberal agendas. And it's like, what happened just to the truth? Mm-hmm. And letting people use their own brains and their own relationships to figure out, you know, right. Let us decide at the coffee shop when we talk, just tell us the truth. And it's like, people are telling you
right.
their opinion versus that. And so I'm wondering, I'm like, is it over? I mean, is it over? Is America, because most nations don't last past 200 years or some constitutions and that type of thing. But we have the oldest, longest living constitution, I believe the reports are, in the history of the world, other than Israel, in regards to how long that we've lasted. So for it to change would just be a standard historical thing.
I think 200 years or 210 or something, whatever it is, 230 years maybe. But and things that we're doing is exactly what happens when the culture ends and it reboots again. But so I was, what do you know, what's going on? And I was thinking, don't you care? I mean, you live in the nation. Don't you care what's going on? I know you're talking about what you're talking. You have your, you're supporting somebody politically, obviously, what you're doing. But don't you care about the outcome? Don't you care what happens to our soldiers? Don't you care what happens to America? Don't you care that our money's not going to be worth anything? Don't you care that our economy crashes? Don't you care about everybody that worked so hard and the retirement's about to be lost? Don't you care about that you're going to anger a nation and raise up a nation that may have uprisings because of what you're doing? And then I began to wonder, you know, what's going on? And then Lord revealed to me progressively as I was seeking him was, this is very simple. It is a methodology which is written about in, I believe, maybe the 60s or 70s. And Saul Alinsky's book, when he was in jail, he wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. And in that book, he spelled some things out, but he dedicated the book to somebody. And this, it didn't start with Saul Alinsky. He just was able to define how this happens. And he says, I'm going to dedicate this book to the first one that used these techniques, basically, is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And he got his own kingdom. And he says, Lucifer. And we have that for you on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and see it. You need to see it. Don't take our word for it. Look at it. I mean, I ordered the book because, you know, you have to, I read these books. I look at them. I don't just hear somebody's opinion. Right. And I could tell. Now, we also ordered some big roll of heavy paper or something. They chunked that book in that big old thing and it had it all beat to death thinking like, look, these are those radicals. I'm like, you can't just have an opinion because you heard something. You need to read it. Maybe if it's accurate, you know, what you're saying, then now you actually have a source and you can say, this is what's going on. And I was shocked for two things. The first thing I was shocked about was it's dedicated to Lucifer. Said that he was the first one that used these tactics and he got his own kingdom. Yeah, he got thrown out of heaven. He organized 1/3 of the angels using these Alinsky type tactics, or which Saul Alinsky writes about in Rules for Radicals. He's saying he used these in the face of God and he organized 1/3 of the angels around himself and got them to thrown out of heaven. That wasn't a good outcome, by the way. And he will have and that's why we say, when you look at the series, we have a series of prophetic understanding about this. Okay, that's the dark side. What's the light side? What does God say about this? It's called, are they using Lucifer tactics to organize the world? And somebody says, well, I can't believe you would just say that. It's like, that's what it says. It says this book is dedicated to Lucifer. And then you find out on the back cover of that book, I believe it's the Chicago Tribune they're quoting, but I don't have it in front of me, that it talks about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, who were mentored by Saul Alinsky. And so this is very relevant. It's very relevant. There's nothing new under the sun, but we need to understand what's going on. For example, Islam had been around for quite some time. Radical Islam had been around for quite some time, but it wasn't until, I believe, Thomas Jefferson said, print the Quran and hand it out so we can read the Quran and find out what's coming against us here. Because the word leatherneck for a Marine did not come because he was tough. They put leather bands around the Marines' necks so that their heads wouldn't be cut off in time of battle. That's why they were called leathernecks, because the first international war, I believe, and the historians could let me know if this is actual, you know, the sources on this, the first one we had to fight in America reluctantly was a war against radical Islam. We had to send our troops out to be able to deal with it because they were attacking our trade routes and all those things that are going on. And so they put leather straps around their necks. And it's, read the Quran. We have it. As a matter of fact, just to help you out, on the VFN Torch, we have the Bible and the Quran side by side. And it says, put the sword to the neck of the infidel. In other words, smite the neck of the infidel, cut the head off of the infidel. And in some areas of that. And so that's where leatherneck comes from, just so you know that. So now we're looking like, when you look at some of the things we talked about in a previous program about what's happening with the Palestinians and why is Fatah and Hamas coming together in regards to beginning to have a Palestinian state trying to, and in Israel, we talked about a tumor and that type of thing, which, by the way, that needs to be titled tumor somewhere in there, because I hadn't seen tumor. You need to understand that for what it is. And so here we are in the context of we are being organized right now. I feel like we're about to crank up an entire notch now in regards to focusing on the particular rule for radical, rules for radicals about organizing people around something as common as pollution. And then you can easily move into the next thing, political pollution and to Pentagon pollution, which means this, armed forces pollution, armed forces pollution, which, you know, the nation's screaming right now about, you know, why did we trade five Taliban warriors reportedly from Gitmo for one alleged soldier who abandoned and left the troops on the field to go find the Taliban, whose lives were lost trying to find him. This is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You can find out more about it at the VFN Torch. You know, the sources we're quoting is them, not ourselves. So we don't know this ourselves, but we're hearing what the sailors, they said they could, the soldiers were saying, we were told that we can't say anything while he's in captivity, but now he's out. They're all just talking and they're offended because people died because he abandoned them on the field. Treason. What's it called? Treason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Allegedly. And so here we are. It's like this thing is shifting and we got to pay attention. There's an area to pray. What is the area to pray? Pray that the church would have eyes to see and ears to hear. Take a little time away from all the entertainment and begin to educate yourself. Educate yourself. Go to VFNTV.com and begin to listen to the entire series. You can actually listen to it at one earbud while you're at work and listen to all 13 rules for radicals, the dark side, and then look at the light side. What does God say about that? Because we don't need to react like most people do. Most people just follow like a bull with a ring in their nose. They just kind of get led around every time these techniques are used. But if you sit back and begin to hear what's going on, there's a biblical perspective of how to respond to every one of these things. There's a light perspective. And so the people, which that's why this series is called Organizers of the Night versus Organizer, Jesus, of the Day. And Saul, remember Saul, the apostle, he was a organizer of darkness until he met the light. And then he turned his life around and became organized by the organizer himself, Jesus Christ. And he put his skills to work and submitted them to the Lord. And he began to organize the church under the leadership of Jesus Christ. So he went from being an organizer like we're seeing today to all of a sudden on the road to Damascus, when he met the light, he realized it was been all wrong. I should have not organized everybody against the church. I shouldn't have organized them against Stephen and having him stoned. I shouldn't have had everybody go into their houses and pull these Christians out. You know why? Because he met Jesus, which encourages this, and we're about to go to break, which is encourages to remember to pray for these Sauls, pray for these organizers, mm-hmm. that they would see the light. Mm. Pray that they would have a road to Damascus experience, an encounter with God. And suddenly, organizers of the night will be just like the apostle Saul and become Apostle Paul and become an organizer organized by the light. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.